In the early church, when they were looking for leaders, new leaders, because of the need rose within the body, what did they choose as qualities to look for in selecting the leaders? In Acts chapter 6, I'm referring to in particular, they call them deacons, basically, that they were selecting. And I was amazed, or am always amazed, as I read in God's Word, they didn't say they got to be good businessmen. They got to be smart. They got to be assertive. They got to be good looking. It says, select among you men who are filled with the Holy Spirit. Of course, along with it, in that passage in Acts chapter 6, verses 3 and 5 in particular, added in with a good reputation. But I think that follows from being controlled by the Holy Spirit. Also, men of faith, it says, full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. And I think that goes in hand in hand. But it's interesting to me that that was the quality that stood out, that arose to the forefront. And in light of what we talked about last week, we said that as we yield to the Holy Spirit's control, which is what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit, to yield our being to the control of God's Spirit, not the flesh, but the Holy Spirit of God controlling us. When we do so, we discovered in God's Word in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 18 and following, we learn that He produces fruit in our lives. When we yield to His control, He produces fruit in our lives. You look at Galatians 5, 22 and following, what you find is there's the fruit of the Spirit and there's the fruit of the flesh. If you haven't read those lately, it's a pretty ugly list when you get the fruit of the flesh. But you know, that's what's produced from our sin nature. That's what comes forth from our flesh. And I believe it comes forth from anyone who may be indwelt by God's Spirit who is not yielded to God's Spirit. Because if you're not yielded to God's Spirit, the flesh is in control. And so that's what comes forth. Because in my study of Scripture, the flesh is not dead. The old man is not dead. We're no longer a slave to the old man. But he still rises his old head up and wants to take control. And when he takes control and we don't yield to the Holy Spirit of God, that ugliness comes out. But when we yield to the Holy Spirit of God, fruit. And in last week in particular, a joyful life, which is a fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5:22. A thankful heart for all things at all times. Not just occasionally. Not just when things are good, but when things are rotten. If we're controlled by the Spirit of God, we're thankful. And also the fruit of being submissive one to another. Because if my flesh is in control and your flesh is in control, you know what? We're going to butt heads. But see, I can be spiritual and yield to the Spirit of God, and I'll submit to you. Or likewise, you submit to me. Because you're controlled by the Spirit of God. He will enable us to know when it's time to submit and shut up and not make a big mountain out of a molehill. Well, you know what? There's much more available than just the fruit that we touched on last week. There's much more available as we're controlled by the Holy Spirit of God. So today, I wanted to follow up last week by helping you, as I have discovered this week, what we receive when we yield to the control of the Holy Spirit. If we yield our lives to the control of God's Spirit, this is what we will receive. First of all, keep in mind, in John 14, 26, Jesus said, when I go, I will send the Helper. Who? The Holy Spirit. Why did He send Him, folks? Because we need help. Not just once, but at all times. We need help. So God sent His Spirit to indwell us. And when we yield to His control, He gives us power to experience the fullness of God. He gives us power to experience the fullness of God. And I find that in Ephesians chapter 3, beginning in verse 14, going through verse 19. Ephesians chapter 3, and it's in one of Paul's prayers. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. For this reason, Paul says, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven on earth derives its name, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. Ephesians 1:19, it's just the same page or the next page over to the left in my Bible. Paul prayed this, that we would experience the greatness of His power toward us who believe. It's the greatness of His power, he's saying. The surpassing greatness of His power we are to experience. In other words, we're to experience the fullness of God and His power in our lives. How does it come about? As we are strengthened in the inner man. We must be strengthened in the inner man, verse 16. Ephesians 3:16, that you might be strengthened, he says, with power through whom? His Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God. Where? In the inner man. 2 Corinthians 4:16 talks about the inner man and the outer man. And it's the same concept, because when he's referring to that outer shell of our bodies fading away, he says, but your inner man is being renewed day by day. What is he contrasting? He's contrasting that which is temporal and that which is eternal. The eternal is within. Look at that body you have. Look in the mirror next time. You don't like what you see? Say, hallelujah, Jesus, I'm going to be changed one day. It's just temporary shell. And we make a whole big deal about it in our country. Way too much. People commit suicide because of it. People fight and spew at one another because they're envious of one who has a different looking outer shell. They call it more beautiful. Who wrote the book on that? You ever thought about that? Look around. Every single one of us are unique. Even triplets aren't identical, right? Now, these twins back here, I still can't tell the difference. Hi, Zachary and Brian. If I had them the whole afternoon, I might be able to know the difference. I just remember one's a Steeler fan. So he's just a little bit smarter than his brother, okay? It's all joke. I don't take temporal things that seriously, by the way. Paul talks about the outer man versus the inner man, the deep seat of the personality, the inner man, where the Holy Spirit of God dwells and where He seeks to transform the life from the inside out. Have you ever heard that before? I got giddy happy back there as I was moving about back here during that, because what does it say? In my heart, in my soul, in the inner man. Lord, I give you control. I submit to the control of your Holy Spirit who dwells in me. Consume me. from the inside out. Just a quick word on that. We're good. We're experts at decorating the outside and pretending and making ourselves look like something we're not. And the emphasis is so much on the outward, we figured if we can paint the barn up a little bit and decorate it, we can fool people into thinking we're something we're not. We can wear our smile on Sunday morning. You ever thought about that? Fight all the way to church. You walk through the door and everybody has to put on that plastic smile. I don't want people to know that we were fighting in the car. Well, why don't you just let it out and you'll find that you got a lot of good friends around. You'll find that the next person's just as fake as you are, and he wants to be real just like you want to be real, but he's unwilling. I'm not saying everybody fights all the way to church all the time. But if it doesn't happen occasionally, praise be to God. Tell me what you're doing. And it seems to multiply by the number of children you have in the car. Our inner man is to be renewed day by day. The inner man from the inside out, he is to strengthen us. Are you drawing upon that strength? Is that inner renewing going on? It will not happen if you're not spending time quietly in the presence of God. I'll tell you that. And in His Word, praying and allowing Him to make that transformation. In order, verse 17 through 19 says that we will experience the fullness of God being strengthened in the inner man, in order to know His love. That's what Paul's prayer is. In order to know His love, that you may fill with your heart and your mind the many dimensions of God's love, that you may know the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height of God's love. And that love would be woven into the very fabric of your life, is what he's saying. That you would be so consumed with God and allowing Him to transform you from the inner man, from the inside out, that you would just be overwhelmed with and consumed with the love of God. That your life would be characterized by that love. You ever thought about this? The fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5:22, is love. Starts out with love. Now, there are those who say, that's the fruit, the love, and all the other fruit stem from it. I'm not prepared to say that, but that's not too bad a thing because it all begins with the God who is love, shedding His blood for us and pouring out His love. And that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The fruit of the Spirit is love. He's saying, I want you to know and experience the full indwelling of God. To experience the very fullness and fullest you can of God, who is love. Experience all that He seeks to bring into your life. That's what He's praying. The fullness of God. Not just a little bit of God, all of God. You want just enough of God to keep you out of trouble? No, you want all of God. You want to experience everything you can of God in your life. The goal is to experience the fullness of Christ. Ephesians 4:13, he says that you all attain to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. You're to grow to maturity, and the measure of that is when you experience the fullness of Christ. That's what he's praying for, that we will mature and grow into experiencing the fullness of God in our lives. And I love it. Ephesians 3, we look through verse 16, basically through verse 19, and look at verse 20. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power of the Holy Spirit that works within us. To him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. He can do far more abundantly, far beyond all that we could ever ask or ever think of. What is he saying? He's saying God can do a whole lot more than you've ever experienced so far, that you could even imagine experiencing. So yield to his control and let him have his way with you. Because he will do far beyond what you could ever imagine. The power he's saying implanted in his people by God through his Spirit. May the operation of his mighty strength by his Spirit and the inner man allow you to experience the fullness of God. The way I understand Scripture, when I trusted in Jesus Christ, who shed his blood on my behalf, I was regenerated, born again, and indwelt by the Spirit of God. And I got every bit of God at that point I'm ever going to get. Okay? That's my understanding of Scripture. Now, having said that, God doesn't have all the Neil that he's ever going to get. If so, poor pathetic Neil. So my point is that I cannot receive more of him, but to the degree which I yield myself to him, to that degree I experience more of the fullness of God. Are you growing in your experience of the fullness of God and his Spirit working to produce fruit in your life? But also, we receive power to pray according to God's will. We receive power to pray according to God's will. 1 John 5:14, John says, and this is the confidence that we have before him, that if we ask anything according to his will, we know that he hears us and we know that we have the request that we have asked of him. So the assurance of answered prayer is that we pray according to God's will. And when we do so, we know that we're going to have the answer to our prayer. Makes sense, doesn't it? If you pray according to God's will, he's going to answer. Therefore, he gives us the power to pray according to God's will under the Spirit's influence. Ephesians 6:18. Under the Spirit's influence in our lives. 6:18, Ephesians chapter 6. At the end of the armor, putting on the armor of God with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. Under the Spirit's influence, with his assistance, and even more than just his assistance, in the very atmosphere of the Spirit who consumes us. Our lives are all about God. And therefore, we yield to him. And in that sense, we allow him to empower us even in our praying. And even as we yield to him, keep this in mind, he says in verse 18, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition, prayer. How do you do that? By his Spirit. He gives you the grace to persevere, to move forward. To be diligent in your prayer. All as I live under the influence of the Holy Spirit of God, under his control, remember? Be filled, be controlled by, be influenced by, be directed by, be empowered by. Not yourself, but by the Spirit of God. And as I am, folks, then I will be led to the will of God. That's how I know the will of God, being led by the Spirit of God, being powered by, directed by the Spirit of God. And this is how I know even more so, because I read and he guides me. He enlightens the word to me to help me understand the will of God. E.M. Bounds in his book on prayer says this, the natural man prays according to his own will, according to his own fancy, and according to his own desires. And that's true. left to my flesh, I'm going to get selfish. I'm going to ask God for the things that are the easiest. And that is many times not the will of God. Through trial we go through. Through tribulation that we've been guaranteed. It's a given. We'd be disappointed if we didn't get to experience all those good things God has in store for us. Having said that, there's a lot more really good things than there are bad things. At least in my life there's been. For every trial, I bet you I could list 10 blessings. You say, I'd like to trade places with you. No, you can't. You're you and I'm me. And I'm happy to be where God has called me to be. Am I content? No, I want to keep moving forward in pursuing the fullness of God in my life. Under whose influence are your prayers? He gives us power to pray according to His will because the Holy Spirit intercedes for us according to the will of God. Romans 8, verses 26 and 27. The Holy Spirit intercedes for us. Isn't it interesting that not only does the Holy Spirit intercede for us, Scripture tells us that Jesus, the Son, also. So we get a double portion of intercession. Isn't that pretty cool? That's just like God. He takes good care of us. Romans 8, 26 and 27. In the same way, the Spirit also helps our weaknesses, for we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us, catch us, with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. We do not know how to pray, nor what to pray for. That's right, we don't. Within ourselves, we don't. And so God's acknowledging that. So remember that. We don't know how to pray or what to pray for. So the Spirit of God helps us by interceding on our behalf before the Father. And He says specifically here, with unintelligible words. In other words, not words that are intelligible. Not even a language, if you will. It's God interceding by His Spirit for us on our behalf because, lack of a better word, we're too dumb. We don't have the wisdom. We don't have the power. We don't have the understanding He has. So He takes over and intercedes on our behalf. It is a wordless prayer born of the Holy Spirit of God in accordance with God's will and purposes. How do you like that? As I yield to the Spirit of God in my praying and not the flesh, He takes over. Some people call this a prayer language. Praise be to God. I don't care what you call it. Nothing audible's ever come out, but I can guarantee one thing. I've experienced this over and over again. Just dumbfounded right before God. God, here's my life. My life, You take control. I don't know what to pray for. I'm just going to surrender to You and You do what You want to do. I'm ready. I'm Yours. And I just pour out my little heart the best I can. And the Holy Spirit of God takes that to the Father on my behalf. You realize He's better at that than me? He's better at that than you, in case you didn't know it. But it's all about yielding to His control. And He will bring before the Father our request according to God's will, that we might experience the power that He has available in prayer for us. How's your prayer life? You say, my prayers hit the ceiling and bounce back usually. Some of you say, my prayers never get to the ceiling. I couldn't help but think of what Tashna shared with me yesterday, dear sister, about Gianna. You can talk about the kids when they're that small. Just don't embarrass them when they're older. Tashna says when Gianna prays, she believes that it happens. God answers. She's one of those that just expects God to do what you ask Him to do. And that will happen as you pray according to God's will. The problem is, my flesh gets involved. And I don't always pray according to God's will. That's why when people say, I haven't had an answer to my prayer, it's because you were selfish in your praying. You weren't spirit-led. You were fleshly-led. But as you yield to the Spirit of God, you have power to pray according to God's will. E.M. Bounds continues in his book on prayer and says, the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness, like Romans 8, 26 and 7. He gives us wisdom. He gives wisdom to our ignorance. He turns ignorance into wisdom. And he changes our very weakness into strength. He pleads for us before the Father, and he enables us to pray always and forever according to the will of God. May you experience power in your praying as you pray according to God's will, as you're guided and empowered by the Holy Spirit. Lastly, we receive power to witness when we are controlled by the Holy Spirit of God. When we yield to his control, we receive power to witness. Acts 1:8 basically tells us that we receive divine enablement for the task of witnessing. We receive divine enablement, his enablement, God's enablement, giving us power or the task of witnessing for him. And when I use the word task, don't think of it as a task. I've got to do this. I've got to do that. Because what he says, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be my witnesses. Where? Judea, Samaria, everywhere. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the ends of the earth. Wherever you are. What is he saying? You are my witnesses. Now, keep this in mind. Wait until the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Can I newsflash for you? If you're waiting, quit waiting. That was fulfilled at Pentecost. The Holy Spirit came down, and since then, the Holy Spirit is indwelling those who believe, and the power to be a witness for God is there. So don't wait any longer. Go. Or keep going, and as you're going, draw upon the power that's available to you. Through the Holy Spirit of God, the promised power of the Holy Spirit was poured out on Pentecost. It has been fulfilled. We are his witnesses. The question is, how effective are we? You know you're his witness? When you go to work tomorrow, you go to the grocery store, you go shopping, you go into your neighborhood, you are his witness, whether you like it or not. If you've called upon the name of Jesus, you signed up for that. You became one of his, therefore you became his witness. Once again, the question is, are you an effective witness for him? Our effectiveness as witnesses depends upon who is empowering us, folks. It depends upon who is controlling us. If I am being controlled by the flesh, whew, good example. I can go out into sports, which I'm kind of taking a back seat to that, by the way. But not even 2 years ago, I was still doing it. And I can get out there in a heartbeat. I can let the flesh take over, and I can destroy my witness by allowing the flesh to get too competitive and to take it way too serious and to destroy or at least hinder my witness for the Lord. Now, having said that, sometimes the best witness is to go to someone and say, you know what? I acted like a jerk, and I represent God because he lives in me. And I've had to do that before. And people look at you like you're from another planet. But I think in the long run, it's a very effective witness. Because why? You destroy that myth that Christians are those perfect people that look down on everyone else because they're not as perfect as we are. You show them you're just a human like them. You just happen to be one who's saved by the grace of God. And you fail just like they fail. But you have forgiveness in Jesus. But I hope those times are very few. I hope the Spirit of God is in control and I yield to His Spirit, His divine enablement, to enable me to be an effective witness for Him. Under His control, folks, I am Christ-like. Under the flesh's control, I am Neil-like. You want to look at the two? Please don't. I could give you a snapshot someday of it, and it's not pretty. There is a huge contrast between Neil-like and Christ-like. But I want my life to be more Christ-like consistently, that I might be an effective witness, and that will come about as I yield to the power of God's Spirit and not my flesh. Do you understand, according to 2 Corinthians 5:20, that we are His ambassadors? When we became Christians, we became a part of the family of God. We became His children, and therefore we became His representatives in this world. That's what an ambassador is. He's a representative of one. He goes and represents someone, goes on their behalf to be the representative. We go through this world as representatives on behalf of Christ. In that passage, it says begging people to be reconciled, to come to God. Because we're controlled by the love of God. And that love poured out in our hearts, and we're knowing and experiencing the fullness of God and the fullness of His love, and that causes us to want to go and share the good news with other people, that they too might have this hope of eternal life. Only way we can represent Him well is to yield to His control. He didn't just say, you're my representative. Guess what? He said, I will give you the power to be a good representative. Do you represent Him well? In your neighborhood, at work, and throughout the community. Not only does He give us divine enablement for the task of witnessing and having the power to be effective witnesses, but He gives us boldness to speak out. Ephesians 4:31. And when they had prayed, the place where they were gathered together was shaken. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak the Word of God with boldness. In this case, being filled, being controlled by the Holy Spirit of God led to what? Led to boldness in witnessing. Some people are a little more timid than others. I understand that. Some people have a different personality than others. I understand that. But also understand that when you're controlled by the Holy Spirit of God, He's going to empower you to be an effective witness for Him. You're going to speak up for Him. An ambassador represents God, in this case, by his life and his words. Ambassador didn't just go and say, I'm just going to quietly shut my mouth and never say a word and be a representative for the U.S., No, he's got to speak up at some point. There are things he has to say in representing those whom he represents. It's both, folks. It's both. What you do speaks so loudly, I can't hear what you're saying. Now, that's a bad witness. But there are also those who say, well, I'm just going to live it. And they're going to catch it by osmosis. I'm not talking about browbeating people. I'm talking about speaking the Christ word, speaking when you have an opportunity. And especially what 1 Peter says, always be prepared to give an account for the hope that's within you. You know what he's talking about there? Everyday normal conversation. When you're around people, they give you plenty of opportunity to proclaim Christ. Take advantage of it and speak up for Him. As you're empowered by the Spirit of God, you will. Celebrated 32 years of my wonderful wife. This past Thursday, and went out to dinner, and the 27-year-old waitress asked us, what is the secret? Because, you know, that's not, I mean, I read in the paper somebody 80 years recently. I read a couple have been married 80 years. I mean, we're just on the honeymoon still compared to that. But, you know, it's unusual. It's certainly not typical that people love one another and stay together and, in my opinion, more in love than ever before after 32 years. Enjoying it more than ever before. She wanted to know the secret. I had a decision to make real fast. So I told her the secret. I told her it was all about the fact that given to ourselves, we wouldn't be in love. But I told her about unconditional love, which comes from a God who gave his all to us. I had to see her, you know, 3 or 4 times, so she wanted to talk. She didn't want to talk about deep spiritual things, and I didn't push it. But I thought to myself, I can't get out of here. I mean, she basically said, would you witness to me? What else? I mean, somebody asked you the secret to, why are you patient? You're going to say, oh, I'm just a real patient guy. No, you're not. So don't lie to him. Speak up. God sent you there, represent him well. And I don't always do that. You say, but you're kind of one of those very talkative guys. You're one of those people who don't meet a stranger. I get lockjaw in a hurry when it comes to proclaiming Jesus in public settings. Here, I have no problems. You're a pretty friendly group. I've never been attacked for sharing my faith with them. I've had people turn me off. I've had people tell me I don't want to hear that garbage. They weren't upset with me. They were upset with the God who was wooing them into his presence. They were guilty because they didn't have a right relationship with him. You shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. Paul in 1 Corinthians 2:1 says that he proclaimed the testimony of God in dependence of the Holy Spirit. And in verse 4, he said, we didn't use persuasive words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and in power. That's how we witnessed. Did you hear that? In demonstration of the Spirit and power. His Spirit will empower us, folks. It's not rocket science. If it is, we got a rocket scientist right back here that will tell us. It's really not. We complicate it. Go represent me. Yield to my Spirit, controlling your thoughts, your attitudes, and your actions, and guess what? The pressure's off. He even says, I'll give you the words. You read that when you're before them. Don't worry about what to say. The Holy Spirit will give you the words to say. Under whose control are you living consistently, I might ask? Under your control or the Spirit's control? Are you experiencing anything close to the fullness of God? Is there a whole lot more left? Well, I'll just tell you, there better be more left, but are you seeking more? Not more of him, but experiencing more of him controlling your life and being his power being demonstrated through your life. Are you experiencing power in your praying according to God's will? Are you experiencing power in your witnessing so that you are living as a good ambassador of him? Representing him well at work, in your neighborhood, at school, wherever you might be. And are you speaking out when you have the opportunity? There's a story told, and I've told this before, but the little boy who got the electric train set for Christmas and was playing with it and just having the greatest time. And you know how kids, I had those when I was young, and that was one of the most thrilling things I ever had. I still like them as an adult. Train was just running around, just pumping and pumping and pumping. And all of a sudden, the train stopped. They couldn't figure out what was going on. And after the wise dad came in there and was befuddled for a while, finally discovered it on the engine. On the track, the engine got stuck on some little piece of something on the track. And that little tiny piece short-circuited the very power of electricity. And I was going to say the power of the whole power plant, but it does get restricted a little bit when it gets to your house. I don't understand much about it, but I know enough to know that. We have some electrical engineers here. I'll talk to you later about it. But the interesting part was that power was available. Something was cutting it off. In this case, the little piece of something, a particle that was hindering the power. The power is available to you and to me to experience the fullness of God to experience power in our praying, and to be bold, effective witnesses. But that power gets cut off. Not little, though. It's big. It's called sin. That is it. Simply put, what do? When the power's not there, I'm not yielding. That means there's sin in the way. I confess it as sin, which is once again acknowledging sin before Him. Accepting His forgiveness as I'm willing to turn away from that sin. And once again, I yield the control of my very being. Transform me, consume me from the inside out, that I might be all that You would have me to be. And He'll take control. You're not a robot. You still have a will. Yielding that will to His control is the secret. And when you sin, confess it. Turn away from it and once again yield. How often do you need to do that? Every stinking time you sin. Is that okay? That's how often. And for some of us, that might be on a regular, consistent basis. I call that spiritual breathing. Some of us may be hyperventilating by the time the day's over. Please understand that the power is available. All you got to do is yield. He'll take control. He'll do the rest. Follow His leading. And when He says go, go. When He says stop, stop. When He says speak, speak. Father, thank You. Thank You, Lord, that the very power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, You say is available to us. Lord, to look at my life, and I have to say it, to look around the body of Christ, I don't see that power. But I want it to flow through me. Is the power flowing? I want it to flow, Lord. And I know it only happens as I'm willing to yield to Your Spirit's control consistently in my life. And I pray that for myself, and I pray that for this body known as Northwood, that we might experience Your fullness, that we might pray with power according to Your will, and that we might be effective witnesses in our Jerusalem for Your honor and Your glory as we go, knowing that You, O Lord, will do abundantly beyond what we could even ask or think. Do so, we pray, through Christ our Lord. Amen.